Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee meeting for August 9th, 2022. Item number two, Notification of Open Meetings Act, posted announcement of meeting procedure. I'd like to read that a copy of the Open Meetings Act of Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I'd like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action, and we ask that the public not interrupt the directors' discussion and action. Thank you. Quorum call.
Bonnet.
Present.
Jeff.
Here.
Teacher.
Here.
Chairperson.
Here. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
The motion?
Second.
And a second. Roll call.
Jeff?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Aye. We have proof of publication of tonight's meeting, which will become part of the permanent record. Mm-hmm. Item number six, presentation on Integrated Management Plan Annual Report, Jennifer Shellpepper, NDNR.
Actually, it won't be Jennifer Shellpepper. It will be Madeline Johnson from DNR.
Okay.
Also, Jim Ostick and Philip Pates are here from DNR if there's any additional questions. But Madeline will do the presentation on the Integrated Management Plan Annual Report.
Okay.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Madeline Johnson, and like she said, I'm from the Water Planning Division of the Department of Natural Resources. So this is our annual report about the integrated management plan. As you can see here, this is just a little bit of background about how the integrated management plan works. It was jointly developed by DNR and the NRD. The four goals of this plan, which was adopted in 2014, include water use policies and practices, water supply and use inventory, water use educational programs, and cooperation with the basin-wide water management plan. The reason that we conduct this IMP annual review, apart from the fact that the plan requires us to do so, is to check in on our progress regarding our joint management of the hydrologically connected groundwater and surface water in the area. This is also the opportunity for us to evaluate any progress that we've made towards the goals and objectives, make sure that those are conveyed to the public, and prioritize our joint management actions for the upcoming years. This figure here indicates the integrated management plan area that's highlighted in red. The surface water and groundwater controls in the plan include a limit of 2,500 acres on the expansion of groundwater irrigation, and then our department limits ourselves to one-third of that in expansion for surface water irrigation. The IMP requires the collection and monitoring of certain kinds of data, so you here at the NRD monitor expansion of groundwater acres, groundwater levels, and municipal water use. And at the department, we have a series of stream gauges that we measure stream flow. We monitor surface water permitting activities. We do inspections of surface water pumping sites, and we monitor the use of surface water for irrigation. This figure here indicates the 2021 groundwater level measurements that were taken by the NRD in the spring of 2021. I apologize if that's difficult to see. We could provide printed copies after this if anybody needed it. That is a table describing further what was in the figure there. This table demonstrates the municipal water use that took place in the IMP area. You can see over a series of years here And the 2021 total is down there in the right-hand corner. This figure shows the surface water appropriations that were approved in 2021 by our department within the IMP area. As indicated there on the bottom of the slide, one of these is a temporary permit that will expire 1 year from its approval date. And those are usually granted for temporary manufacturing purposes. And one surface water appropriation either expired or was canceled within the IMP area this year, or in 2021. Excuse me. This figure shows the location of stream gauges that are located within the IMP area. Our department currently does not operate any stream gauges within this area, so all of these gauges that are shown here are maintained by the U.S. Geological Survey. Here we have a chart showing the annual average discharge. So this is the amount of water on average that is flowing in the stream at this location. You can see the red line there shows a 10-year moving annual average. So you can see some years obviously are much wetter than others, but that we do have the average line going on there as well. This chart, I apologize if it's difficult to read. There's a very long period of record for this particular gauge, so the years are sort of smushed together there. But it does extend from the continuous period there extends from 1928 until 2021 in this chart. And this one is for the Platte River at Louisville. As part of our data collection and monitoring, we also collect voluntary surface water use reports. This is a survey that we send out to surface water irrigators, which they voluntarily answer, and then we collect data based on that. So we received 51 responses to the voluntary survey from the Papio, Missouri area. There were 40 that answered who had irrigation permits from a naturally flowing source. 13 of them had used surface water. 6 of them had used surface water and groundwater both, and 21 reported that they had not irrigated. This survey also provides the opportunity for people who did not irrigate to state why they didn't feel that it was necessary. So if there are questions about that, we can look further into the data if anybody is wondering. There were 7 appropriators that had storage permits. One of those people irrigated with surface water only, and one of them irrigated with a combination. 5 of them did not irrigate. And then there, at the bottom there, it shows the 4 appropriators with irrigation from storage on lands that don't also include a natural flow permit. 3 of them irrigated and 1 did not. So every year the field office staff visit various pump sites around the state. They sort of rotate around and try to get to as many as possible on an annual basis, but the number that they are able to visit each year will vary. In 2021, 34 sites were visited within the NRD. 7 of the sites that were visited had a pump set up at the time, and none of them were running at the time of inspection. This varies due to the time of year and weather at the time of inspection. Okay, so the next few slides go through sort of the progress on the different goals and objectives that are listed in the plan. Goal number one is to develop and implement water use policies and practices to protect existing uses while also allowing for water future development. Most of these activities listed here were done by the NRD. Some of them are also our department cooperated in. So the groundwater management plan was revised recently, and then we're continuing to cooperate with the Lower Platte Consortium. Goal two is to develop and maintain a water supply and use inventory based on the best available data and analysis. You can see here a list of many of our data and analysis related activities. So the Lower Platte Missouri Tributaries model has been developed, and then there's ongoing data collection to revise and improve that model. We're also working on, in conjunction with the NRD and regionally, weather and climate data and improved municipal water use data. This is the figure here shows the area of the model for the Lower Platte and Missouri Tributaries model, and then the brown area within that indicates the Papio Missouri NRD area. So you can see kind of where the district is located within this model area. And as I'm sure you guys are familiar with, there's a number of neighboring NRDs who have started WSF grants to work on AEM data to improve their parts of the regional model. Goal number three is to develop and implement water use educational programs. So a number of educational programs are ongoing. We will say in 2020 and 2021, I imagine both the NRD and our department experienced disturbance in the amount of education we would normally do just due to COVID. But a number of things were accomplished. I do want to highlight the Lower Platte River Drought Consortium press release, of which we received quite a bit of positive feedback and a lot of news coverage about that, and the drought monitoring dashboard, which is available, and we've also received a lot of positive feedback from people who are able to just go there and look at drought conditions on any given day. Here are some pictures of staff participating in Husker Harvest Days and the State Fair, which is a thing that we've done pretty much annually on an ongoing basis. Goal number four was to work with other NRDs and develop the basin management plan. Participation in all of these consortium activities are ongoing. And so there are also a number of studies going on in the IMP area. And so you can see there's $1,221,000 in grants for studies presently going on in the IMP area. Our activities that are going to be going on for the next 2 years mostly include a continuation of activities that we have been participating in, continuing to improve and refine groundwater modeling in the area, continuing to participate in basin-wide and regional planning efforts, including the Lower Platte River Consortium and Coalition. There are ongoing drought planning activities related to the consortium in particular. And we're also continuing efforts to develop a depletion and consumptive use tracking database. That work is ongoing. And we plan to review data from studies as it becomes available and incorporate that into our modeling going forward. There has been discussion of a possible need to amend the integrated management plan, and the joint recommendation at this point from our department staff and from NRD staff, or at least last we discussed it, was that it was best to wait until after the first increment of the basin-wide plan was completed, which was relatively recently. So we would be open to revisiting amending the IMP if it became necessary based on the basin-wide plan. So that'll be something that will be discussed in an ongoing way. These charts here, they might be a bit small to read, but these are charts that were also included in the basin-wide annual report. This is just the depletions and consumptive use. You can see Papio, Missouri NRD's depletions there, along with all of the other NRDs in the basin. This slide just shows the Papio, Missouri portion of that chart. And at this point, we can take any questions that anyone may have. Jim Ostick is here from our Water Administration Division, if anybody has water administration-related questions. And has Philip made it? I don't see him. Okay. But if there are questions about anything that I can't answer, I can direct them to the appropriate person at our office.
Thank you very much. Director?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I don't know if this is more of a comment slash question maybe before, but the DNR and other directors, as you were showing our basin, our jurisdiction, Papio, Missouri, NRD, and I wonder about, you know, some of these huge Google, Facebook, what may that come in, how many servers they may have in these buildings, how many thousands of gallons a day do they use, and are we seeing that in the equation for, you know, depletion? Mm-hmm. That was something I was wondering about. So most recently, Omaha said everybody conserve water, and yet on the other hand, they're waving in somebody, again, Google. I think me and Director Teaser were talking about this privately. On the western end, they want to build a canal to get more water into the Platte, but on the eastern end, they're waving Google and Facebook in and say set up shop around the Platte. And so I'm just wondering, you know, trying to put things together, and if we're discussing that, and if they're discussing that in the DNR on a larger scale. So,
So if those new facilities were located like within city limits, then those would be accounted for in the municipal reporting. Beyond that, I don't know, Jim, if you want to speak about this at all, but they would be, their permits would be junior to previously established water users, and the older water users would therefore be able to call on the river if they didn't have enough and shut down the more junior appropriators. That is an ongoing thing that I think everybody's keeping an eye on to see.
And another question, I guess it had to do with ethanol plants. Are we still seeing a bunch of those along the Platte River? Again, because for a while there was an explosion of ethanol. And for the equation of X amount of energy in, or X amount, for the equation, X amount of water out, you know, using the whole equation for a gallon of ethanol, that was another thing I was somewhat concerned about. But if they're you know. This is more questions I'll have for Thursday when I go to Kearney, but don't mean to, more rhetorical, I guess, but I appreciate, you know, working with the DNR and that you're keeping your eye on these depletion rates.
Of course. And the purposes of any new irrigation permit, you can view on our website. It will say whenever anybody applies for a new permit, the intended use of the water is posted there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know personally if there's an ongoing development of a lot of more ethanol plants, but that'd be something you could look up on our website or contact somebody at our office.
Thank you.
Director Burnett?
You said that we have 40 respondents for wells. Do we have a total count of a number of wells that are in that area, our area? Now, what's the participation rate? Ratio.
Okay.
Surface water pumps, not groundwater
wells.
Okay.
And I
think the chart up there just shows there's like 53 to 56.
Yeah, I think
we've. Over each year, of having the active permits. There were 51 to 49.
Oh, that's.
So 40 of the 55 approximately?
Yes.
Are those new, or how many of those are repeat participants?
I reviewed the who respond year by year and all.
Yeah, there were only three new permits, so most of these respondents would have been people who've had permits for some period of time. But we don't track from year to year whether the same person has answered the survey.
I think where this is a voluntary survey, I think statewide we're in the 20 to 30% response. So having 40 out of 55 is a very high rate, so that's
a
good area. Okay. You have to come and state his name.
Yeah. Can we have the gentleman who's speaking state his name for the record here at the podium?
My name is Jim Ostick.
Could you come up to the podium? Thank you.
My name is Jim Ostick, O-S-T-D-I-E-K.
And your position is what, indeed?
I am the Platte River Coordinator for the Department of Natural Resources.
Good. Thank you.
One last question. Of the people who pull a permit, do you know how many actually decide not to actually irrigate?
When they pull a permit, they have 3 years to perfect it. So I don't have the numbers for that right now, but they have 3 years. After the third year, third summer, we go out and we do an investigation to see if it's been used. And at that time, we would consider it perfected.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item number 7, Amendment 3 with Houston Engineering, Inc. for Missouri River Levees, Amanda Grant and Linda Rogers, Houston Engineering, Inc.
Okay. I think Lindy's on her way up here. So Houston Engineering, we're going to have to get used to that, so we're just going to start right now. Houston Engineering, formerly FIRA Engineering, currently has the contract for the professional services for the Missouri River levee improvements. And this has been an ongoing contract for a number of years. It's currently just over $3.7 million. And so since the last amendment to the contract, there's been many out-of-scope items, as you can imagine, with this large of a project and the length of time that the project has gone on. There's been a number of out-of-scope items that has been very well documented throughout the process. I gave a summary of the major things. Lindy did provide in your packets as part of the letter. There's even more detailed list of the out-of-scope items. But in general, those mainly addressed things that had happened from the 2019 flood, different repairs or design modifications, and also just the fact that it extended this project by 18 months in general. So just everything lasted 18 months longer. A ton of coordination That's not even done with Burlington Northern Railroad on the closure structure and a lot of just kind of difficult communications and changes with things have gone on that closure structure. There's been a couple things at the wetland mitigation site at Rumsey West where we had to do some extra investigation and some modifications, changes from the core to the Platte River hydrology, and updates to interior drainage, and then enough to cover the final construction observation and the levee certification package to get us through the end of the project, which is intended to be substantial complete in October through all the punch list items, and then the main, this Burlington Northern closure structure by the end of the year. So that's the summary. This is the amendment to kind of cover those out-of-scope things and get us through the final push. Lindy's here for any questions that you might have. This amendment is $395,500, so it would bring the total contract to just over $4.1 million. If there's any questions, Lindy or I would be happy to try to answer those.
Okay, thank you. We could have a motion on this item.
Make a motion.
Motion. Have a second. Second. Thank you.
It's been seconded already, so.
Okay.
We have to vote. I had some questions. Is this our, we anticipate being our final amendment to this project?
I think so.
No. Lindy Rogers, Houston Engineering. Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
How do you know?
I mean, foreseeing if something happened and something got destroyed in an event, but, I mean, we see the end of the line. They have very little work left to do other than punch list items and then this closure section, and we've already started on the FEMA submittal package, so that's already working with FEMA. I feel very confident that this is the final amendment on this
and
project.
And when do you anticipate the entire project being completed then?
December of this year.
Okay. And one more thing, the $395,000, is that entirely NRD paying for that, or is that going to be a combination of other entities along with us?
So all of the reimbursements have already been completed for this project. So if you wanted to put it in the big mix, the overall number, you know, people contributed their certain amounts, but all of the reimbursements from the state and from the city of Bellevue and Sarpy County, those have all been completed. So this will come out of NRD budget.
So any and all amendments, like including this one or any others from this point on, come completely out of the NRD budget?
Correct.
Correct. All right. Are you the only one that reviews these things, Amanda? Or is there others in the NRD that do that?
That reviews the contract amendments?
Yeah.
Well, it would be the project manager and then the assistant manager and the general manager review.
Okay. I was wondering who at the NRD reviews what they present to us today. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Director?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering about the Amendment 1 cultural resources, if something was found or what that might be relation to.
Where are you? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure where you're seeing that at.
Maybe I'm on the wrong.
That might be on the
is that item
Cranford
eight?
Lake one.
Yeah, we haven't had.
I'll say that question.
We haven't had any additional work for cultural use.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
well then.
Different.
Never mind.
Any other questions? Yeah, I didn't know. I think. Director Chapp said somebody second. I didn't hear anybody second it, so I was going to ask that question. Who seconded the motion?
I made the motion.
Okay, you made the motion, but nobody else said second. So are you going to second it?
Second.
Okay. All right, Director Chapp did. Is there anyone else from the public wish to speak to the item? Any directors? Any other questions? Roll call.
Pizza?
Yes.
On it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Chairperson.
All right. Thank you very much. Item number 8, amendment to the professional services contract with Colson for the design of Cranford Lake Water Main Extension Project. Justin Novak.
Good evening, directors.
here to talk about the amendment number 3 for our existing contract with Olson's on the Cramper Lake Water Main Extension Project, which used to include the word Hubbard as well, but that has now been removed. The amendments for the additional easements that were needed outside of the original scope, which was 40, now we're almost 70 easements that total. So there's almost an additional 30 easements that were needed. Also, when we originally designed this project, it was to include the village of Hubbard. But Hubbard, I attended their town hall meetings here the last month and a half ago. Went through about 5 town hall meetings with them and their constituents, and they decided not to be a part of the project. So really what we had to do is go back to the drawing board, reevaluate what we're doing, because the way the USDA works is they won't allow you to upsize water lines outside of what you need currently. So they weren't going to provide us that additional funding or grants. So it was going to cost us about an extra $1 million for this project to build that size water line. If we would have got Hubbard's commitment, we would have looked at a lot of additional grant money, probably an additional $500,000 or $600,000, and we'd be able to afford to do it. Since they declined, we had to go back to the drawing board and kind of reevaluate the system overall. So this is the amendment to redesign those water mains, standpipe, and other areas. And also do additional easements that were needed for the project. So,
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We can have a motion on this item.
Move staff recommendation.
Can I have a second? Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Director Burnett?
What was the participation level that we were seeking from Hubbard, and was that a static amount, or could they have selected a smaller amount, and which would have qualified us for the other additional?
So their participation level was a pretty unique opportunity for the village of Hubbard. They weren't actually going to contribute any dollars to the project. So we were actually going to bring this water main and meter right to their back door, and then they would have just had to connect from the meter to their mains within the village. The discussion was, the water's always been fine for the last 50 years, so why do we need to worry about it? But I think what I was trying to provide them was, what is the water going to be like 50 years from today? Because that's really what we're discussing. It isn't what the water is or was. It's what it's going to be potentially. Their newest well was 1974, their oldest one. The other well was in the 50s. To drill a new irrigation well is about $500,000. And when you have 80 residents in a community, that can be very expensive. But they decided that they wanted to keep control of their water. They're always fine with the way it is, and then that's their choice. Obviously, I was just providing them the opportunity to be a part of this project. I just wanted to let them know that, this is what we're going to be doing. This is what will be available. But we need your commitment to receive more dollars, and they elected not to. So, unfortunately, it's kind of a loss for their community. I know their village board president was all for it, but the older generation from that community just didn't want it. So, we at least did our due diligence to provide them an opportunity, and really try to sell them on it, but in the end, it was unsuccessful.
Director Jett, any questions?
No, I think he asked how many people are involved in the project without Hubbard. You said how many?
Basically this project, the end game is to get it to Cramper Lake. So Cramper Lake facility will have good, clean water out there because currently it's extremely poor. We're having trouble passing these state regulation tests and everything. We're anticipating about an additional 50 to 60 new customers with this project. But really what it's going to do is provide a lot of reliability for that portion of the system. Right now, the booster pump station is almost 50 years old. It's in a manhole that you crawl down inside. We can pump about 44,000 gallons of water a day, and during this peak demand here in June, we were pumping about 41,000. So we're going to be able to provide a lot more reliability and capacity because our standpipe is going to go from 25,000 gallons to 75,000, which if Hubbard would have joined, it would have gone to 100,000, then we would have upside some water mains too. But it's going to be a really nice addition for that part of the system.
So potentially how many extra can you serve with this water line?
With the current upgrades, we were going to take a 6-inch water main to Hubbard. So now we're just going to use the existing 4 inches that is in that area. But we could provide we're anticipating at least over 100 people plus Cramper Lake. So more people than what we've already got signed up, but it will allow for some development around Cramper Lake and those areas. I know like Andy Lux in there, he's looking at building some acreage lots and stuff around there. So I think it's going to be a nice addition to that area because the groundwater quality is really poor. So I think it's all the residents are well received to the project. You know, the easements we've done, we had about a 95% success rate in getting easements signed. And that's at no money. So that's all in pleas and thank yous. So that's how well received it is by the local residents.
Yeah, it's well needed. It's well needed, right? Yep. Sure.
And answer your question, Larry, from the last topic, cultural resources. That was a study that was requested by the Ponca tribe on any, because we're in the, you know, up in the hills in that area. It's a lot of old Indian sites up there. So that was what the $30,000 was for, to basically do any review to make sure there was no impacts to anything along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions from the director?
So that I'm
yeah. No problem.
There was grant money on the table for this project?
So we are receiving grant money. We're actually getting into the final phases of obligating funds here. Hoping here in this fall we're going to be going out for bid of projects. So currently the loan amount's going to be about $1.9 million, and we're going to receive about $1.7 million in grant money for this project. So almost half of the project's going to be paid for through federal grants. So pretty good deal for us. Pretty good deal. But we would have got more money if Hubbard would have signed on. So if we would have got a commitment from them, we could have went back and got more money from the USDA plus some other state revolving funds that would be available for local communities too. So unfortunately, we couldn't get them on, and our system just can't afford those upsizes without it.
Maybe we can put it back to them to reconsider.
I tried. I went there 5 times. I took a beating from that public for many, many, many hours. Terry Schumacher was there and witnessed it. So
maybe you can call their rep in, their director.
You know, it's hard to change.
Justin can't talk him into it. No,
oh, I appreciate that, Ted. Thank you.
It's too late now. The USDA needs action on the paperwork. Yep. To start. So we can't say the beater head gets brick wall for too long. Yeah.
Yeah. These issues arise, and they have in the past, and I think, John, you and the staff need to reach out to us. We're in communication with the constituents as well as those elected officials.
Well,
sometimes just a few phone calls.
Well, we held multiple public meetings, you know, and as you know, a lot of times the people that show up to public meetings aren't there in support of. And so, unfortunately, people just currently they run their system unmetered. So right now they pay a flat rate of $28 a month, and they can pump water till they're blue in the face. And so now you would be required to be metered. Obviously, your bill is going to go up. But in the long game, that's pretty cheap if you're paying $50 a month compared to if you drill a new well for $500,000 and that water quality is bad, that's another $1 million for a treatment plant. So you start adding all these costs up, that gets a lot more expensive. But couldn't convince them of anything different. You know, they're just they're happy with what they have. They wanted to keep full control, and at the end of the day, that was really the number one reason they didn't want it, was just we want to be in control of our own water, and that was their choice. So, but
any other questions? Roll call.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're adjourned.
We'll call a meeting of the FEL subcommittee together. With that, notification of the Open Meeting Act is posted in the rear of the building. I am 3 quorum call, please.
Hi.
Here.
Here.
Davidson.
Here.
Here.
And Chairperson. Here. I failed to appoint Director Conley to replace Danny Bagley. I apologize. Adoption agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Yes. Item 5, proof of publication. I have it before me. Item 6. FY 2023 budget, draft 2, John Winkler. And John, we'll give you 3 minutes.
Okay, thanks. That's all I need. This draft budget, draft 2, has not changed significantly from the first draft in July. The only change is on page 40 of 46 of Dakota County Rural Water. It shows the Cramper Lake water main extension. It shows the grant money from USDA and the loan money from USDA. So that was the only update. Expecting a 5.8% estimated increase in valuations to calculate the levy. We're anticipating the levy to remain the same. If valuations come in higher, the levy will drop in accordance with how it comes in.
Items to remember, dates to remember, public input meeting is August 11th. That's the board meeting on Thursday. Budget hearings and adoption of the fiscal year 2023 budget and set the tax levy for the fiscal year 2023. Fiscal year September 8th at that board meeting. We are recommending that this be forwarded to the board for adoption, and then obviously the final draft will be presented in September. The budget is due to the state September 30th. So far, the City of Omaha has proposed a budget increase in their property taxes of 6.2%, City of Lincoln 7.4%. So just kind of keeping track of where we're at. State, I reported last month, is 5.9 in this fiscal year. So again, we're staying kind of within that lower range of what we need. I won't go over and bore you with all of the inflation numbers that I discussed at the July meeting. But that, again, continues to be a problem, as evidenced by a rejection of the bid for WP4. So we're still seeing those costs. So hopefully fuel is coming down a little bit. Hopefully we'll get some moderation in the economy, and we'll be able to get better quotes on a lot of different things moving into this winter and the spring. So I'd be happy to take any questions, but it's pretty much the same as it was in July.
Questions? Thank you, General.
Yes,
sir. 7, Missouri River Levy Surplus Land Sale.
No rejected.
Big motion. I move staff recommendation.
I'm sorry.
Second.
There was no second?
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Ask for public comment.
Oh, yeah, I missed a month. I forget. Damn. Is there any public comment? Roll call. Thank you.
McCormick?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
And Jefferson?
Yes. Now, moving on, the Missouri River Levy Surplus Land and Sale. Amanda? Do we need to go to the exec?
No, we'll try to cover this without. So this is back to the Missouri River levy improvements. When the district was purchasing easements for and land to do these levy improvements, one of the purchases was with Rod and Karen Iske, and the district purchased 14.303 acres from them. And that was done quite a few I'll say as best I can describe it, there is a very messy land rights map that, you know, how much do we need? There were old easements for part of this levy. There were kind of these old blanket easements. The Corps of Engineers identified easements and right-of-way areas that they needed for the project, and then the district identified area they needed for this. So there was a whole bunch of back and forth between kind of cleaning up old big blanket easements that covered big areas and getting what we needed. At any rate, in this area, we purchased just over 14 acres, but we really only needed a couple of acres there. The seepage berm did not need to go in that stretch, and so we were able to, and the previous landowner really wanted to buy back that area so he could farm it. So we were able to sell back, if the board would consider this, 12.286 acres of that we purchased from Rod and Karen Iske, sell it back to them at the price that it was purchased for, minus their attorney fees. So the recommendation is to declare that 12.26 acres of land surplus and sell that back to the original landowners, Rod and Karen Iske, for
$127,644.
Any discussion? I move staff recommendation on the item.
Second.
Anybody from the general public wish to make comment? Directors?
Are they just going to farm this land, or what are they going to do with it? Just
farm it.
Just one quick question.
Yeah.
That $127,000 plus, is that the total amount, or is that taken out the attorney fees already, or is the attorney fees will be taken out of that?
The attorney fees are taken out already.
Okay. Or added to it or taken out, which is it?
It's so sensitive.
So they're paying it to us, so we took it out.
Yes.
Okay.
We don't do that often. It kind of you have to.
Yeah. How does that work?
Yeah, we felt like it was a legit request given it was the land rights maps originally.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Anybody else? Seeing none. Roll call.
Gibson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Riley?
Yes.
Andrew Burton? Yes. Item 8, no name dike, high ground easement purchase. Martin?
Mr. Cleveland is not feeling well today, so I'm going to handle this one also. So we have a number of these easements for you to consider tonight. We've talked about these the last couple of months, I believe. So this is the high ground easement at No Name Dyke. So this is where Union Dyke and No Name Dyke tie into high ground at Sokol Camp, and there's a number of lots if we maybe want to go to a map, but there's a number of lots that just formed the high ground to tie these dikes together, and no formal easements were ever put together, so now we're trying to protect the integrity of that structure by putting some permanent easements in place. So the first one tonight is Lot 43, which is David Lastavica. And the way that these were appraised by valuation services, and I believe is 10% of the value of that property. And what this does is protects like to a certain elevation. So it just doesn't allow people can have houses, do things on that property. It just wouldn't allow them to cut into that high ground any lower than what we need for the levee top. So we presented folks with offers, which was about 10% of their value, and Mr. Lastavica has agreed to sign the purchase agreement for the appraised value. So in this case, for Lot 43, it's $6,300, and we recommend approval of that purchase agreement.
Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? Anybody from the general public wish to make a comment? Roll call.
McCormick?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
And Jefferson?
Yes. Next item, item B.
Okay.
Fanciullo?
Fanciullo, is that correct?
David Fanciullo.
All right. So this is another of the high ground easements. This. Fanciullo also agreed to the purchase agreement at the appraised value. So all of these values are different because all of the lots have different valuations of houses and outbuildings and things on them. Some are empty lots. So that's why you'll kind of see a wide range. So even though this is the appraised value, he has agreed to that. It's the same permanent easement to protect the integrity of the levee, that top elevation. And this lot, 49 and 50, this purchase agreement would be for $11,500 to purchase that permanent easement. And so same situation, but we'll answer any questions if we can.
Any motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Any comments from the general public? Directors? Roll call.
Conley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Yes. Third item, Amanda.
Okay. So this is Karen Bluevoss. This is Lot 51. Same situation again. Presented with a purchase agreement. The offer was 10% of their value for the high ground easement. And she has accepted the appraised value for that easement. And so her appraised value is $1,500. And we recommend approval of that purchase agreement.
So moved. That recommendation.
I'm going to have to teach you some Bohemian pronunciations.
I'm Polish. I know.
any comment from the general public? Directors, seeing none, roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Andrew?
Yes. Item D?
Okay. I probably can't say it again. Blue Boss again and Betty Stoley. This is Lot 52 at Sokol Camp, and this is the same purchase agreement, same high ground easement. As a side note, I think, are there six or seven left after?
Six property owners. Six. There's multiple lots.
Okay. So there's multiple lots left, but about six property owners left that we're still negotiating with after these. But in this case, this is for Lot 52, and they have agreed to the appraised value, which was $7,700 for this high ground easement, and we recommend approval of this purchase agreement.
So move.
A second. Anybody?
Second.
Thank you. Anybody from the general public wish to comment? Director? Seeing none, roll call.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
And
Chairperson? Yes. I believe that concludes our agenda. We stand adjourned.